You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back to Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast, Oklahoma City's own premier pop culture podcast, the top podcast in Oklahoma City for sure. As always, I'm your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yo, Scott, this will be episode 440.
Woo!
That was a good one. You brought it this week.
Well, you know.
It's been a couple weeks coming. Hey, you know, since this is the third week of July, I guess, but you know what's going on this week? It's week of Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con.
We remember it well.
Not to be confused with any other Comic-Con.
Right. And, you know, when Wednesday came around a few days ago, I was sitting in my chair going, you know, right now, if I was in San Diego, it'd be preview night.
And right.
I'd be ready to bust in there.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And see what was going on. I love preview night on Wednesdays.
You know what's funny is, so you and I went to San Diego in 2000, mm-hmm. 2002.
Right.
And then we went every year until about 2008 or 2009.
No, it was like 2000, 2002, 2003, 4, 5, and 6. We skipped 7. We went to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
8. Did 8, and we did 9. And that was our last year. But
that's what I was thinking.
I think 2 and 7, we went to C2E2 one year and Wizard World the other, right?
Yeah. Something like that. Well, I don't know if we did in 2002.
Maybe not, but
I think in 7 we went to Wizard World.
One of those years we went to
C2E2.
It was our first year also.
Yeah, whatever year that was.
Yeah, so basically me and you went to San Diego, I want to say 8 or 9 times. And then I went a few years later without you in 14. But, you know, 14's the last time I went. So it's been 8 years since I've been. And it's been, 13 years since you've been?
Yeah, well, and, you know, that last year we went, it got so big. And I was like, I did, and their focus had become so much not comics.
It's
movies.
It's terrible.
And I was, and it really became, it's like, I didn't enjoy it as much. And I said, the only way I will enjoy this, the only way I really want to come back to this is if I'm working with a publisher and I have a book to promote or something like that, because we would go out there with our friend, and we'd see our friend Richard Jenkins, and he would hang out at their booth all day, and he'd sell comics and talk to people, and he'd hang out with his fellow people. Richard did a book called Sky Egg for Planet Lair. And he would hang out with those guys when he wasn't at the convention, and I always thought that was, you know, what I wanted to do. That would kind of, I don't know if you'll say, make up for not being as much comic related stuff or whatever, but really it was a combination of things for me that made me be like, oh my gosh, it became impossible to get hotel rooms. First, hotel rooms got real expensive. That was not good, but it was okay. I could deal with that because we would usually split a room. But, I mean, like, first year or two we went, it was like $60 a night, like, right by the convention center.
Yeah, super cheap.
Super cheap. Then it got real expensive. Then it got, where it was hard to even get a hotel room. That was a
pain. Yeah, one day we stayed at Point Loma, right?
Oh, yeah, we stayed at Point Loma. But what's funny is, through all this, I've always been able to get a ticket. I've never had a problem getting a ticket, which is crazy. You'd think that would be the one thing that would be hard to get.
Well, it still is hard to get, though.
Well, I got grandfathered in on a pro badge.
You remember this, though. The first couple of years we went out there, we didn't go out there with badges. We bought badges at the door.
Yeah, we bought badges. First 2 years we went out there, we bought badges at the door, and what happened is that second year we went, I went to a panel with Will Eisner. I don't know if you were with me. And he was talking about comics. And he was talking about, oh, yeah, you know, the big thing now is people are going to make comics on the web. And so I said, dude, that's what we ought to do. And so you and I did a web comic. And through that web comic, we got a pro badge the next year. And we got grandfathered in, I think, every year after that.
I even got a pro badge for 14 when I went.
Did you? I mean, I got, yeah. couple years ago, I didn't even go when I got badges 2 years ago, 2 years in a row. The great thing about San Diego Con and pro badges is now, if you get a pro badge, which I didn't apply for one this year, I probably should have. If you get a pro badge, they give you, it comes this little box with like stuff, and you get a button. They have different. It's a lapel pin. It's a metal lapel pin. One of them has the San Diego logo on it with like the eye of the and the.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
I got one of those. And then 1 year I got one. It's a reproduction of their old, like Golden State Comic Con logo, but they're different ones every.
With the parrot.
No, it's older than that.
Oh, okay.
But every year you get like one of three possibly, so it's random which one you get.
Okay.
Of the ones you can get, I've always thought I got the best ones.
Okay.
But so you get that, it's 100% free, and you can get a guest pass.
True. Yeah.
New York, it's like $90, and you don't get anything, and you certainly don't, and you can't even buy a guest pass.
Right.
Yeah. It's just you. So it's a different situation. But I love going to the con. I was hoping to go in 2020 because I thought my comic was going to be out. So I thought my comic would be out. Like in at New York, I was talking to them about, oh, you know, I'd love for the comic to come out at San Diego Comic Con. They're like, oh yeah, you know, we could do that. Well, then in January, I was talking to the writer, Greg, and Greg said, oh, there's no way the comic will be out. And I'm like, I'm almost done with issue 4. What are we waiting on? And he's like, oh, it's going to take forever to get all the pre-production stuff done. So I finished issue 4 knowing, like, okay, it's not going to come out. I'm not going to get to go. Well, then it got canceled because of COVID. So then last year I was thinking, well, maybe, but we went through. Well, then the colorist wasn't done. And then, so, but like the first year, same thing. I was talking to Greg, hey, man, do you think it'll debut? He said, well, probably not because I don't know when it's going to be on the, he said it's going to take a while. They have to put it in their catalog. It's going to take a while. Not the Diamond catalog, but just in Source Point Press's schedule. And he said, I don't know where they're going to put it. He said, but I doubt it's done in time. So what happened to me is, I said, well, what about New York? And he said, well, it may be done in time for New York. So I was in the July previews. First issue was. Second issue is in the August previews, by the way. It just came out.
Oh, really?
But I mean, obviously, you know, there wasn't a comic, and now they're telling me, well, issue 1 probably won't. Issue 1 comes out in September, but they said we might not have any to sell at the convention.
Why is that?
Because of how they get them. They get them from the distributors. I guess the same time the stores do. They would get their batch in the warehouse, but the truck leaves for New York like a couple weeks beforehand, you know? So I may be, so it's like, okay, I'm getting hosed out of going to a con, you know? But anyway, that's my Comic-Con recent experience is COVID's kind of killed the last 2 years.
You know, I saw Chuck Rosowski?
Oh, yeah, from Mile High.
Mile High, he posted a photo of his booth at San Diego, and you know, it's
wait this year.
Hang on.
Oh,
it, you know, it's seven
tables
long, right? He had a huge booth. He had it for about 40 years. You know, at one point he was like on the board, you know, whatever. Then he started replacing those comic guys with movie people, and he said, "Yeah, this is my last booth or one of his last booths," and he had a little write up about how like. Way before the con, like, they would plan all this stuff to go to San Diego every year.
Oh, yeah.
Because he went for, like, 40 years in a row, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, not pretty much, but legit went. And so they'd always take a semi, and they would basically figure out, like, set up on the floor, like, what all was going to go on the semi big box truck or semi.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, like, a big deal, right, for his company. And they, you know, to drive it. Drive it from Denver to San Diego and go down to the docks and have it all sent up to where his booth's going to be and set up and bring people to work it for the, you know, basically a week.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. It was like a big deal. And but then he said, yeah, you know, I haven't been for 5 years because... And he kind of went into a little bit, but basically he got sideways with the management because, you know, they're not comic people anymore.
Yeah, and he was kind of outspoken about that, too.
Yeah, you know, it kind of, and it cost, you know, the booth rate went so high. Because, you know, they want to sell that space to Lucasfilm, or they want to sell that space to Nintendo. So, you know, a comic guy like him, he can't afford the pavilion's money, right? But...
Yeah.
You know, they would rather push a comic guy out and give more space to these big ass companies, basically.
Yeah.
And so he just got to where it wasn't worth his time, the money, and he wasn't getting enough back, and he got sideways, like I said, sideways with the people, and so he had a really nice little, like, he wishes he could still go, but it just, you know, didn't work out for him.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's pretty sad because the guy was going for like 40 years.
Well, that's kind of how I feel on a different level, but exactly how I feel about the con. But
you know how much he loved the con, though.
No, yeah.
I mean, the guy loved the con.
Well, and he supported him early on.
Right, right.
That's the thing. I mean, you know. Well,
and they kind of shit on him.
Kind of. Well, they.
Well, not just him. Other con guys,
right,
too.
Right. Yeah. No. Not just him, but. What's funny is I saw a deal today and it was, I think it was the Hollywood Reporter that was talking about how Comic-Con isn't a big deal for movie companies anymore.
Well, good. I'm glad.
I don't know if this was speculation.
Well, you know, Disney's got their own thing anyway now.
Yeah, the D23.
Right. So, but I don't know. Well,
yeah,
maybe the comics will take, or... Because here, the only reason why I think comics may swing back around because, and they won't, but
yeah.
there's other things besides movies and video games and things like that. But funny thing is, Matt Kent put a photo up of himself today with Keanu Reeves, like side by side.
Oh, yeah, because they did Berserker.
They're doing Berserker, yeah. 9 issues of Berserkers came out of the 12. And so they're only coming out, like very infrequently, like maybe one every 2 months or something like that. They don't come out very, they don't always come out monthly. Like, sometimes there's gaps, but it's been going on more than 9 months, basically. But they're doing a panel today, might have been yesterday. Sometimes I get my photos like a day late, but it's either yesterday or today. I think it might have been Thursday, but they're doing a panel together, and it was a Berserker panel. Those two people plus some of the other people, like maybe Ron Garney, I think, is the artist.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple other people. But anyway, but it was a legit Berserker panel, comic-related, even though this might turn into a movie, but it was in Hall H.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, think about that.
Keanu Reeves is there.
Well, because Keanu Reeves is there, but think about that, though. I mean, this is like, has there been really many comic things in the Hall H? Usually Hall H is like the Sony Hour, the Marvel Hour, yes. The New Line Cinema Hour.
Yeah, movie stuff. Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Nothing.
Hell, one day is like Star Wars Day for the most part. You know, right. Like Star Wars panels back to back. So the fact that this was like semi-comic book related, I know Keanu Reeves was there, but I can't undersell that.
Right.
But still, it was a comic book thing in Hall H, and I was like, wow, what's... To me, that was a big deal. Because I could have put this in Ballroom 20.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, usually they don't have comic panels over on that side of the thing.
No, not at all.
I wonder how much of it was people that were just coming to hear Keanu.
Oh, probably. Was that whole, like, 8,500 people? Probably 8,000 of those 8,500.
No, I mean, that book's pretty popular. I mean,
no, I know.
It made a lot of money, but...
It's. Have you read it?
No.
No, I like it. I've been reading it. It's good.
No.
It's his idea, Matt Kent, you know. I think he came up with the idea and of a character he wants to do. Which is like this immortal character that you can't really kill. But it's kind of almost like a John Wick kind of a guy, sort of. Not really, but, you know, he's like super good at what he does. Almost like a Wolverine immortal.
He's the best at what he does.
Yeah, a John Wick, I mean, immortals, tough guy, he's so old that maybe he has can't remember some of the stuff he's done. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
But it's kind of a cool story. The artwork's really good, and Matt Kent's writing it. And
Ron Garney's a pretty solid artist.
I think it's Ron Garney, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're correct on that.
But the fact that it was in Hall H, I was like, that's interesting. But then again, what you're saying is like, if these movie companies don't show up, then it kind of opens up Hall H for things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I don't want to, I'm sure, some of those movie companies will still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because the thing is, and this is, comics, that's the thing, is like comics are such a low-scale medium. The money that comics make is like chump change. It's like the catering budget on a Marvel movie.
Oh yeah.
Whatever Marvel would spend, or Sony, or any of these movie companies, to them it's nothing to go down there and promote their movies. And so the only thing would be if they were like, I think to them it'd probably be more just like, is it even worth investing the time in it? That would maybe make them change their mind. But then you think, if they, the Comic-Con people have gotten used to this big presence, if all that disappeared suddenly, would there be a vacuum, and what would fill it? Would it be video games? Games have their own kind of things. I don't know if games are geared that way.
Man, think about this though. What if this is like some kind of alternate reality kind of shit? But
sure.
But what if, for whatever reason, with all the streaming services and all that, they feel like they don't need Comic-Con to support to get their thing going, because now they can put little blurbs on their whatever.
Buy YouTube ads.
Yeah, or whatever. So what if the companies pull out? They're not bringing the stars down anymore. I think two things might happen if that happens. One, that's going to free up a lot of real estate in panels, in that kind of thing. And two, all these people who could care less about comics will quit going, so maybe I can go back to Comic-Con.
Yeah, that'd be the dream, wouldn't it?
And then we could get a few cosplayers to drop off, it'd be even better.
I don't know. If anything would have done it, it would have been the pandemic.
But all those companies, they would come and they'd bring, back when Lord of the Rings was a big deal, they'd bring the Lord of the Rings cast. They'd bring the, cast of the X-Men movies. I mean, I've seen so many people on the stage that in movies that were not anywhere near, the X-Men, at least it's a comic book property. But, I saw Halle Berry there for a movie she did that had nothing to do with, it was like a horror movie or something.
Like no genre thing.
Yeah, Halle Berry's popular, let's bring her down and let's show a little snippet of her movie, and then in 3 months when it comes out, the buzz will be good enough from Comic-Con that it'll hopefully.
I think the tell will be what happens. There's a COVID resurgence right now. So if after this Comic-Con, if this ends up being like, hey, some movie star got it. But
slow down production of some movie.
If it slowed down production on a movie, that would make studios rethink stuff like that.
To not come ever again?
Probably. I don't know. When's the pandemic going away?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think anytime soon. They'll just get different variants. We're on like the fourth variant now or something.
I don't know. Something like that.
Like, I listen to this podcast and one of the hosts on it was off an episode, and he takes off and goes on vacations, but they said, no, he's sick. And they go, he's sick? And they go, yeah, he went to Heroes Con and he came back with COVID. And so this guy's got the vaccine and all that. He's not he's not an anti-vaxxer, but he got sick and he wasn't feeling well, so he just missed an episode of the show. Then the very next week he was back.
Yeah.
But, anybody can.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Heroes Con and people are not kissing you, but they're maybe talking in your face, or maybe they're kissing you, I don't know. Or they're, shaking your hands or coughing, or, you might get a
dope. Dude, I still have no clue where I got COVID. I mean,
maybe at the grocery store.
Could have.
I mean, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, I was far enough away from. I have a suspicion though, because we had a visitor at work, and me and the other guy that got it were around them, and I suspect that it came from them, because none of us were wearing masks.
Well, yeah.
I mean, who knows?
But do you wear masks out in public anymore?
I have to wear them at work.
You still do at your work?
No, but it's come back. The CDC has recommended people wear a mask. So I have to wear a mask again at work. That's all I wear. I don't care. Anyway, let's not turn this into a COVID podcast.
Back to fun stuff.
Back to fun stuff.
Well, anyways, we're bringing up Comic-Con. It's going on right now. I don't know about you, but I'm missing it.
You know, yeah, I mean, the last 2 years I've been thinking I might get to go.
I missed when it was Wednesday night and I wasn't there. I was like, oh man, preview night.
I had hot dogs today in celebration.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because we'd always get hot dogs at the convention. It's about the best thing to eat at the convention center, unless you go upstairs and get pizza at that one place.
Oh, the Big Jew Dog.
I didn't get Hebrew National though.
Yeah.
They had them. I got a Nathan's instead.
I follow the fans of Tim Sell on Facebook. I was on that way before he passed away, and somebody posted that they were out there at San Diego, and they went to the Tim Sell tribute panel.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, and it might not have been only him. It might have been, I think it was like a tribute for Tim Sell, Neil Adams, and George.
Here's our boy.
Oh, yeah, wow, cool. I think it was a panel for Tim Sell, Neil Adams, and George Perez, but it was like this tribute panel for those artists that died, and somebody was like, did anybody film it? Because, you know, people, you know, if they filmed it, I would have watched it, right? And they're like, no, I don't think anybody filmed it. And I'm like, how do they not, you know, film it?
I filmed panels at cons before, and you do tend to get dirty looks. And some of them they'll say beforehand not to.
But I mean, here's the deal.
Some of them they'll tell you not to film at.
But okay, but on this one, I feel like that should have been professionally shot since it's a tribute panel, and it should have been on their site, on the Comic-Con site. Now I did go to the Michael Turner tribute panel at San Diego, and that was a hell of a panel.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
So I mean, I kind of wish I could have saw this Tim Sell thing, but. Oh, by the way,
somebody may have recorded it. They may just not posted it yet.
Well, maybe an audio file or something of it. By the way, I was thinking we were going to get through July without a creator death. You see, we had another creator death.
Oh yeah, who was it? Alan Grant.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever read any Alan Grant or not, but this is kind of tangential to our Comic-Con thing, but kind of getting off track here a little bit. I've read some Batman and. Do you know he created the ventriloquist and the dummy, or the Scarface?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a couple other characters he created or co-created, and I was just thinking, we had Neil Adams and George Perez, then Tim Sell in June, you know, boom, 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 like three in a row each different month, and I thought, okay, July Skating Free, and then Alan Grant, which he was most known for. Like Judge Dredd, I think, in 2008.
Oh, yeah, because he was a British guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's from Scotland or whatever. But he did do some Batman. I have read some of his Batman comics, so I just kind of want to mention that he'd passed away like a couple of days ago. And you're definitely finding our buddy there. He's all over San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
See, we could be all over San Diego. I want to be all over San Diego.
Yeah, I do too. Next year.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. Depends on the variants.
Any other final San Diego thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, every time San Diego comes around, I always say, the early years we went were always fun, and then later it just got to be expensive and difficult to get stuff and get around and getting panels. I mean, you couldn't even get into panels hardly, and it was just like, it was just one of those deals where you're like, it's costing me way more than it used to, and I'm getting much less enjoyment out of it, you know. But I will say this, you know, it was, what, 98 Wednesday, 90-something? It's been close to 100 the last couple of days. I don't know what it is in San Diego. We've been in San Diego when it's been hot and it's miserable, but I doubt it's that hot there, so that would have been nice.
No, I really think that every year we went, it was only hot once. Like, usually when you get off the plane there, it's like in the 70s.
Yeah, we went, most of the time we went, it was pretty nice. There was one year it was scorching, though. I remember that.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, it was always a good time. It just got to be too much, like I said, too much effort and money, and the fun, the cost went up, the fun went down, so, you know.
You know, last year I went in 14. You know, I had my wife and my youngest son with me, and there was some panel that we were going to take him to, and he was 10 or something like that at the time.
Yeah.
And
so you had a pro pass, a guest pass, and a child pass.
I did, yep. All on.
Never could happen in New York.
Never could happen in New York, and that was a one-off, because I think the next year he would have been
12. Right, yeah, aged out of
it. He might have been like 11 or something, but anyway. But we all three went, and there was some panel we were going to take him to that was like geared to like video games or something or other that he was kind of moderately interested in. And so I got the book out, because the people who don't know, that building is like literally like 7 blocks long and like 2 stories in some area and 3 stories in part of it.
The guidebook is critical to those big...
Yeah, it's a crazy, huge building. Luckily, all the room numbers are the same, so once you kind of get the layout, you go year to year to year, you know where everything's at, but you got
to
figure out...
And it was a lot easier to get around than New York, I always thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Rooms were laid out more logical.
But you'd look at the guidebook and go, okay, well, it's Thursday or whatever... At noon or at 1:30 or whatever, this panel's going to be in room 6ABCD.
Yeah.
You know where that's at. 6ABCD.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, you if we were still going, I guarantee you would.
But it was super easy to find.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the aisles were numbered, and then down the row, it's the letters,
yeah,
right?
And then the 6ABCD was like, they've opened up...
And they're all in, like in one area.
Yeah, they've opened up the 6, so it's like they've opened it up to make it a real big room or whatever, right?
Right.
So you're like, okay, I want to go to...
Versus New York, they're on different halls, and so it's hard. You have to find... And some of them are down here, and some of them are over here.
Oh, so over there by the food court and stuff.
Yeah. New York is ridiculous.
The layout of that building in New York is really tough. But in San Diego, it's like, okay, you got the showroom, you got the show floor, then you've got the kind of level where all the stuff's at or whatever. Anyway, long story short, we went over there to that room. Big-ass line. We go, is this the line? And no, this isn't the line. This line here is for... You know, room 21 or whatever. Room 21, you know, whatever. When you're following the line around, you're looking for the line to get in the room you want to go into, and you can't even find the end of it because it's so long around. So we couldn't even get in that room because the line was, I don't even know how long.
At one point, I remember they were stretching them outside.
Well, we had to go, get this. We had to go, I think we found the room, and then we had to start backtracking the line. And the line... went, you know, down around. It actually went downstairs, it went outside, and it went back in the building. I'm not even joking. And then I said to somebody, I go, well, that room only holds like 500 people or something. You know, I know how big these damn rooms are.
Yeah.
And I go, there's got to be way more than 500 people in the line. And the guy goes, somebody in front of me goes, oh, yeah. Here's the thing. They're not, these people in the line that are here in the line with me and you, they're not even here to see the panel you want to see, because those people probably aren't going to leave that panel. The people that are in the line currently are really in line for that room for 3 panels from now.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And I'm like, I'm like, what? And he's, oh, yeah, so-and-so is going to be in that room like literally 3 hours from now. And this line is lined up for that room for then. And as these panels turn over, as a few people leave...
Because they don't clear the rooms.
Yeah, as a few people leave...
Which they can't really clear the rooms. That wouldn't be... Because sometimes there is 2 things in a row you want to watch.
Yeah, so yeah, if you want to watch 2 things in the same room back to back, it's... You just camp out there. Like, people camp out in Hall H. They never leave Hall H. You know, during the movie stuff.
Yeah.
But how crappy it is that you want to go see some panel and you can't get in there because people are jamming up the line for something that's happening a couple hours from now.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm like, you can't even go see a panel in San Diego anymore.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
This is, you know, San Diego used to, and if I know we were talking about this, I could have done this. Used to, they would email out the panel list beforehand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I would take them to work.
Oh, yeah.
And I would look through them at work.
Yeah, and highlight what you
wanted. And I'd print them out, and then I'd highlight what I wanted to go to. And then when you got there, well, I would make lists. In fact, I made a couple times, I made a binder. Not a binder, but I had a folder, and I put a list on, like, what I wanted to see each day. And then at one point, they went to a guidebook. Well, they always had a guidebook, but they went to a schedule. It was a flimsy, like a newsprint kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was a schedule, and it was broken up by time. So you could look, okay, it's Tuesday, almost like a TV guide kind of deal. But they didn't do that the first couple of years we went there.
No, and you know what they started doing was once it got to be, because I think between, when we started going, I think the amount of people was like 30,000, something like that.
Something like that,
and by the time we quit going, it was like 125,000.
Right.
I mean, it got like four times bigger in the 9 years we went.
Yeah.
Away. But, you know, what they started doing was, for me anyways, is I'd go, okay, on Tuesday, I really want to go see these two things. And these these two things, and they end up being pretty popular. So they put them in two big rooms, but then they put them at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And that way they don't got everybody going to one room and everybody going to the other.
That's unavoidable.
Well, but that just got to be so much. It's like, oh my God.
But it's because they have so many panels. But I mean, they got a lot of people attending, so they got to have a lot of panels or really be crowded in the panels. But what's cool is I still have those documents. I have about 3 or 4 years worth of them.
Of what you were going
to do? No, the schedules they sent out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you can look through them and you can be like, I wonder if Tim Sale did a panel. And since it's a Word document, you can search for Sale.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a bad one because of the sales pavilion. But, you know. But, I mean, you could look for, like, Jim Shooter, for example, and see if he was on a panel. Or C.B. Cebulski. You could look for Cebulski, and it would pop up if he was on a panel.
That's cool, yeah. Man, I miss it. I wish I could go every year. There's a guy I follow on Facebook. And, anyways, I used to follow. He did a podcast, and he's wrapped up. He didn't do the podcast anymore, but I still follow him for the heck of it. And he does photography now. Well, he was doing it at the same time, but he quit his podcast, but he still did the photography. But he lives there.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, him going to San Diego would be like me and you driving down to the Ford Center, the Peak, or the, what do they call that joint now, right?
Well, let me say this, though. Traffic down. Traffic would be horrible.
Well, I know, but
you take an Uber or public transit
but
or something.
But this guy going down, like, he'll go down there.
I would go to a hotel and ride their bus.
He'll go down there, like, the week before. He'll take photos of, like, all the banners and stuff they've got hanging up. And he'll post. And I look at that and I go, oh, man, how cool is that? Or, you know, kind of wish I was there kind of a thing. And then he'll go and I don't know how he does it, but with his connections, and he's well-connected, he'll show, like, or he, I don't think he did it this year, but he'll show, like, all of the badges he gets for people.
Oh, that's cool.
And he'll have, like, literally, like, 10, 12 badges in his hand that they will have mailed him before he goes that he's going to pass out to these people because, like I said, he's well-connected or whatever. But he goes down and takes photos and shows sights. And if he meets somebody down there, he'll take a photo of who he meets. And I'm like, and I'm not talking about regular people. I'm talking about...
Yeah, like celebrities.
Like Todd McFarlane or whatever.
Oh, yeah, comic books.
Well, he used to do podcasts where he'd interview people and stuff. So he's still got the connections or whatever. And I'm like, man, how cool would that be, you know? But you live in the center of America, you don't have this kind of opportunities.
Yeah, but it's easier than if you lived in New York. Well, I mean, get traveling there, but yeah, you can't do it. So this is one of my favorite pictures of the convention center. This is the... I got a version of this that's extended. This is the one for my iPad. That's my background on my computer at work right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I love this photo. It's obviously it's at night.
It's kind of twilighty.
It's not.
You can still see some of the sky.
Yeah, it's after dusk, but all the lights are on. Like the street lights are on, the lights in the convention center are on. There's no people in this photo, so I don't know when it was. I don't know if it was early in the morning or late at night. So I feel like it wasn't during a Comic-Con, obviously. Probably there's no banners or anything.
There's nobody sleeping on the sidewalk.
No, but it's kind of a cool,
yeah.
You know.
I had that on my computer for a while, too.
I think I found it and may have sent it to you.
Yeah. It's really cool.
And then at work, I have that, and then I have other photos that I've got of the conventions. Somewhere I found somebody's blog, they took a bunch of cool pictures of the convention center, and I got an aerial photo of the San Diego, that downtown area, and occasionally I'll put it on my backdrop at work, and I got two monitors, and I'll look and I'll go, oh, there's where the Ralph's is, or there's where the international trade, remember that international trade place?
Yeah.
You know, that we'd go,
it's like a bazaar kind of a thing.
Yeah, they sold like all kinds of weird stuff
and like food and just weird stuff.
Or going like to that mall, you know?
Yeah, the mall. There was also the, I think we ate there, that, what was it called? The Brick Oven Pizza Place.
Oh, yeah, we ate there a couple times. Yeah,
joint was legit. And then there was also the, I see you've got your Urar Cooks cup there.
Oh, yeah, the strip.
It was called the Gas Lamp Strip Club.
Yeah.
And you cook your own steak. We ate there once. That was really
sweet. That was too. Pretty good.
It had all those Varga paintings inside. Tons of Varga paintings inside.
The Rockin' Baja Lobster was good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that joint. That was really good, too.
Yeah, and then there was there was a spaghetti warehouse.
Yep.
On the corner there. Yep,
surely was.
You know, supposedly there's a spaghetti warehouse in Bricktown now.
Yeah, I think they reopened. It's what I heard.
Well, what was it before? Spaghetti?
The Spaghetti Warehouse, now it's called something different. It's in the same
spot. No. Okay, so what is it now?
I don't know. It's Spaghetti.
It's a different chain. That's the one that's in San Diego. It's not Spaghetti Warehouse. It's like Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, we got one of those down there now?
That's what moved in down there, and that's what's
It's in Spaghetti Warehouse's spot?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I don't know if it's open or not, but pandemic kind of screwed everything up.
Oh, yeah. But that's cool. Yeah, I mean, they had some really good downtown restaurants.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, the sad thing is...
That San Diego Strip Club, they went out.
Yeah, and I feel like it'll be 10,000 people there. No, I'm sorry, 100,000 people there.
Well, you know, though, the funny thing is, though, you'd leave the convention center at 7 or whenever, and you could still go out there and eat at those. You have to wait, but you can still get in those restaurants. And then we'd hot foot it back over to the convention center. We'd see the costume contest or the Eisner's, or we'd go back and do something else in the evening again sometimes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I dug it. I wish New York was.
New York is not as cool. I mean, I'll freely admit that.
Well, and New York's got San Diego beat in one aspect.
In New York City.
No. Well, that's debatable, but yeah, it is in New York City, but no.
It's not debatable, it is in New York City.
Well, no, if it's the reason why it's better. The reason why it's definitely better, though, is Artist Alley in New York kicks San Diego's ass.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
San Diego's Artist Alley is so damn small. New York City's is gigantic.
Yeah.
That's a big plus.
And everybody comes to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in terms of comic people, I think New York probably dwarfs San Diego.
Right. The cool factor, I think San Diego's the cool factor, but if you want to meet the comics... The facility's
a lot cooler.
Yeah.
The weather. The weather's a lot better.
Because it can get kind of cool there in New York.
It can get cool in New York in October.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it rains.
But, I mean, you never...
We've gotten rained on plenty in New York.
At New York Comic-Con, when you leave the convention center, you never have problems getting a restaurant.
We still have to wait sometimes, though.
Yeah, but you'd have to wait anywhere. I mean, the convention does not overwhelm the city like San Diego does.
Oh, no, yeah, it's their top city. I mean, it's their top convention, they'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's... I mean, I don't know how big San Diego is, but I feel like the convention occupies a small portion of the city. You know, I mean, I know the convention center, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think it's pretty regulated to if you got up and around outside of the convention area, you know, it wouldn't be as overwhelming of it. You know what I'm saying?
You're right, San Diego?
Yeah.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, meaning that there's not enough hotels down there, there's not enough restaurants down there.
Oh, it overwhelms it that way.
But because it's all concentrated in one area of the city.
But hang on a minute. They do other big shows, trade shows that would bring in people.
Yeah, that's true.
They do, but unfortunately, think about it. San Diego also uses the ballpark now. They use facilities at other hotels.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, the Eisners had moved the last time we were there, I think, or maybe the last couple times we were there.
Yeah, it moved.
And that wasn't near as fun being over in that hotel.
Yeah, what did they get out of Ballroom 20?
They were doing in Ballroom 20 that they needed the hotel, the room free.
Ballroom 20 was a great room for the Eisners.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, if they ever put the Eisners in New York, that would be a...
No, they'd never do it.
Why?
Well,
you think San Diego owns it?
I think San Diego owns it, and Jackie Estrada...
I was going to say Jackie Estrada's tied in real tight with that.
Well, I mean, she's like the main person that... San Diego, and she's the main person.
But since New York's more of a comic thing, shouldn't it go there?
I'm not arguing one way or the other. I'm just saying it'll never happen.
Probably should be there, not San Diego, but whatever.
Well, let's face it. These cons should all go... I mean, in a perfect world, this would all collapse and be replaced by something that was... They'd be like, the movie people would be, we don't want to go to this, you know? And it'd all be comics.
And cosplayers would be like, why are we making costumes again for
school? Yeah.
We're not getting paid for this.
Unfortunately, some of them are, so...
Well, yeah.
Or they would just get so big they'd have their own conventions.
Yeah, why don't they do that?
I don't know. I'm surprised they haven't.
I mean, that kind of makes more sense, doesn't it?
Nah, it's easier to take over something else than make your own thing.
It's easier to bastardize something cool and crap on it than it is to make
What's the cycle of cultural appropriation for fandom, for pop stuff? It's like, you're not including us. Okay, come on and join us. You're not doing it right, do it our way. Oh, even though you were in it before us, you're not allowed here.
You mean like Chuck?
Like Chuck. Yeah, Chuck's a perfect example. Thanks for being part of it. You support us. Now we're going to bring in these other people.
Well, Chuck's problem was when he was on the board with the other comic people, they started letting like movie people in because movie people were hip.
Yeah.
And then they eventually just took it over, you know, just overwhelmed it. And then now it's crap.
Well, I mean, it's
the loss of focus, man.
Here's the thing. Okay, I just read that book about Stan Lee. I've read Marvel Comics Untold Story. Literally on Facebook today, I was talking to somebody, or not talking, but interacting through comments with somebody that worked at Marvel that was talking about how, yeah, it was great, but in the 70s, but nobody got paid and we all kind of got screwed over. And I was watching a video about how Marvel screws over a lot of people that create content that they end up using in movies and they don't pay them very much. And it's like, comics have always been like low paying, kind of a subculture format that was looked down on. And it's I don't think it's equipped to be embraced by the mainstream without being just overwhelmed and changed into something that doesn't look like the comic industry. You know, the comic industry only supports a con. It can only support a con. For the con to get big, it's going to bring in more stuff, is what I'm saying. You know, Comic-Con got big when it became a pop culture thing instead of just a comic book thing. You know.
Yeah.
So the choices are embrace it the way it is, or hope that sometimes at some point in the future, comics become unpopular again, and it goes back.
Yeah. Well, you can still just go to OafCon.
Yeah, I mean, there are options out there, certainly. I mean, there's so many conventions now that you know, they're certainly no one is obligated. The bad thing is, there's a size that when conventions get to, they seem to have to, they can't stay that size. So they either get bigger or they go back to being small. And I would argue that Planet Comic Con in Kansas City was an example of that. Their last couple of years that they were in Overland Park, it was great. And that was a great location. It had some issues. The last couple of years that they were in Overland Park, you know, it was a good location. And it got pretty big, and they were having known creators there, and they were having smaller publishers and stuff. But to get bigger, they had to jump to downtown. It cost their venue, costs went up. You know, it became a deal where you couldn't park at the convention center like you used to be able to.
Oh man, no.
You know, and everything. But it's grown and become a lot bigger.
Think
convention.
About how much
but
more the hotels cost now than they did.
Oh yeah, than they did before, because you have to stay at a downtown Kansas City hotel.
Yeah.
And the they've gotten, now they're doing a lot of these autograph things where they bring in, you know, pay to play actors. You know, they've embraced the cosplay thing big time, you know, and so it couldn't stay at that size. He wanted to grow it, which I don't blame him, you know, I guess, but, you know, and I think that's how I feel about San Diego. That last, those first couple of years we went were about perfect, you know.
To me, Overland Park was pretty cool. However, remember the first year we went, we saw Jim Lee there, and he was just basically shouting in the room.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was perfect in every way, and the way was they didn't have any meeting rooms.
Well, they
had them, but he didn't rent them out.
He didn't rent out the meeting rooms. He didn't rent out a PA system. So Jim Lee was trying to yell in like a little corded off
to the side of the convention, which was loud.
Yeah, and then the next year he gets a room, then he gets a bigger room, then like the last year he had the really big room, and I remember I saw Edward James Olmos and one or two more people from like Battlestar Galactica, I think, were there.
Yeah.
And that was like a legit convention because, you know, Still in Overland Park. Edward James Olmos is there, and I think Peter Mayhew and some other Star Wars people were there, and
were they paying for autograph kind of things?
I don't remember Edward J. Olmos was selling autographs, but he was definitely there. He wasn't doing autographs like they do now. He might have done a few, but nowadays it would be like, okay, everybody who's got the Edward James Olmos autograph ticket, come to
that's all they announce at that con now.
Well, and I'll tell you who sold their soul to that is Dallas has really sold their soul to that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Dallas used to not be that way, and now all I heard this last time I went to Dallas was, all right, if you've got the ticket to meet the four hobbits, come over here and get it basically notarized, and then you can go to the room and meet the four hobbits, and you know, all the actors that played the four hobbits. But they kept making that announcement so many times that I was in a panel, and at one point Brent Spiner stops talking and goes, does anybody in here have the ticket to meet the four hobbits? It was so stupid.
Well, and that's the other thing is these stars can make big bucks at these things, and you know, that's to me that's the kind of thing that, I mean, people complain about cosplayers, but really to me that's probably more of a negative impact on conventions, I think, than cosplayers.
I don't think so. I don't, because I'll tell you why.
Well, I know you got to see Captain Kirk, okay.
Well, no, you don't have to go and see any of those people.
Hang on.
And you don't have to buy any of their autographs or get your picture with any of these people. But what happens is when they bring those people there, it does bring in more patrons, which makes, you know, which allows them to buy other things and do other things to get them. The thing is, though, I think cosplayers are worse because cosplayers what are they bringing in? All they're doing is they're clogging the aisles.
You're not looking at the bigger picture on this, though.
What are they bringing in?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay, what are they bringing in?
I'm not going to defend cosplayers. What I'm going to say is when a convention goes down the path of that their big draw is people that they're selling packages for their autographs, what happens is the convention gets more expensive. The table costs go as the attendance goes up, the table costs go up. When the table costs go up, everything gets more expensive, it gets harder. Ticket prices go up. That's what I'm saying is it brings the big money into the conventions and everything goes up. And if they're spending $150 so they can get a Captain Kirk signature and a photo or whatever, or $350 or whatever it is, they're probably not spending a lot of money on the show floor. That's what they're coming for. That's what they're getting. They may buy a slice of pizza. They may buy a comic book or something. But
no, they won't.
They probably won't buy anything. I would argue that, you know.
Cosplayers don't have pockets for wallets, though. So well, they're not buying anything.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, I don't know that either one of them
has an
impact on the show floor.
I haven't seen a cosplayer with a bag or a backpack with stuff in it that they bought because they're doing their thing.
I've seen them with people that carry bags, but I mean, you may be right, but the fact is, when they get the people in, the money goes everything at the convention gets more expensive.
I can see that.
And then when it gets more expensive, you know, as the table costs go out, it starts pushing out independent artists, indie comic companies, you know. And then what you get is you get a convention that's all autographs, a wall of T-shirts, you know, maybe the booth of guys selling graphic novels they bought off of Amazon on pallets, which, I mean...
They weren't there.
You know, but that kind of stuff, you know, but you don't get a shop selling comics or small creators. You might get big creators that are, you know, doing CGC stuff or whatever, but...
I will say this. I kind of feel like, as big as Dallas is, which is way bigger than Kansas City, you would think that Dallas would have... Hell, it's a hub.
Yeah.
Airport hub. So,
right.
So you would think that they would get just unbelievable guests at their show.
What do you mean by guests?
Well, like, I'm not talking...
Comic guests?
Comic guests.
Okay.
Either people live around there, or live in Texas.
There's a lot of creators in Texas.
Can get there easily. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kansas City seems to get a better guests, for whatever, in my opinion.
I'll say this, and I kind of bashed on Planet Comic Con, but the guy that runs it does try and get he is a comic book. The guy that runs it, I don't know if it's just him or a group.
And Steve Jackson?
Chris Jackson.
Chris Jackson, yeah.
He has, I mean, I've seen him, we saw him talking to Mike Grell at San Diego one year.
Well, yeah, that didn't make me too happy because he cut me off. I was talking to Mike Grell and he kind of stepped in and started talking to Mike Grell.
Well, whether it made you happy or not. He was trying to get comic creators.
Because he also runs, what's that shop he runs up there? He runs a...
Does he still run the shop? I thought he stepped down from the shop.
He? I don't know.
I was thinking I read that on Facebook that he wasn't part of the shop anymore.
That's news to me, but yeah,
I could be mistaken. I don't remember what it was anyway. Yeah, because for a while, if you want tickets, you'd call his shop and get tickets.
Yeah, it was like Acme or something, comics like that. I don't remember what it was. But no, he's a... pretty decent dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And you're right, he's a huge comic guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a fan, but I also think he's like, you know, a realist about where he's going to make his money.
Well, think about also, like, San Diego's a corporation, Reed Pop.
Yeah, it's a big corporation.
He's his own thing, you know, so at least he hadn't sold out to those guys.
Sure, yeah.
Well, anything else? We're about an hour.
Nope.
I think that's good Comic Con talk.
Yeah. We'll
call that good. And just keep our memories of how cool San Diego was in the early 2000s. Because after that, it kind of screwed the pooch.
Well, I haven't been in a while, so I don't know. I mean, I see pictures of our friend Mario, and he looks like he's having a blast. But he's at a publisher's booth selling his comics, so...
Well, hang on. He's having a blast, but that's when you're in the building, you've made it in the building.
Yeah.
That's not him schlepping his stuff out there. That's not him getting a hotel room. That's not him getting back and forth, no telling where he's staying at. And once you're in the building, you're having a great time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to take in.
Especially if you're behind a table and you're not having to fight...
Yeah. You got people with like power scooters running over your foot or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this episode up right here. As always, I'm your host, D.L. Nelson. Join my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Come back next week for another all new episode. Check out our blog at betterthanfictionpodcast.blogspot.com, where I will post some photos of San Diego Comic Con. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a second to leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This will help people find our podcast.
Yeah, and so if you don't want to go to iTunes or wherever we're on a lot of different sites, but if you don't want to go to any of those sites, go to our Blogspot, and the episodes are right there. You can just look at all the different episodes and just click on the link, play it right through our site. So you can do that now. I've got that set up. Works like a charm. And with that, we'll say, hey, go to a local convention. You don't have to go to a big one.
Yeah, support your local con if you like comics.
And we've got New World Con coming up next weekend.
Oh, it is next weekend.
July the 30th, check out New World Con.
Yep, if you're local, check it out. And I think tickets are like $10.
Tickets are $10. It's a low-dose show, and he's going to have 3 or 4 comic book guests there, actually.
Yeah, there's a pretty decent list.
And he usually has vendors from around here, and some come up from Texas and that kind of thing. So, yeah, if you're into comics, definitely check out New World Con July 30th at the fairgrounds. And with that, we'll say, hey, see you next week, and we're out of here.